This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we just got finished playing the Atlanta Hawks. Unfortunately, it was another game that was kind of like this whole East Coast road trip. Another big deficit. We kept fighting, though. This time, the big deficit wasn't until later in the game. We did cut it down to 12 at the end, even though we were down by 22 at one point. But in the end, you know, whatever. We didn't have SGA. That was a big factor. But we did get to see what an offense would look like if Josh Giddey was the point guard and everything was running through him. And honestly, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Mark, we allowed some of the most points we've allowed on fast breaks tonight. That was 11. That was not a good thing for these guys. And one of the reasons that we've allowed so many few fast breaks this year is because we keep, getting on that offensive glass, making them have to rebound all five guys on the defensive boards. So that to us is a real big thing. But unfortunately, tonight they had 11 points off of that. And it was really the deciding factor in the score as well. So that's something I'm sure that Coach D and Coach Bliss and the coaching staff will get to. But I felt like this was a good game for these guys, minus the third quarter. I felt like we just choked when it came to the third quarter. And we can say whatever we want, but that third quarter, we only scored 11 points. And that really just, just destroyed any chance that we had to come back in this game. They scored 27 points in that third quarter, and that is when they stretched their lead to 22 points. Like Mark said, it was late in the game, but the reality was this team wasn't going to lay down and not do anything. We scored 30 points in that fourth quarter, and that was really exciting basketball. And I just got excited about the way that Josh Giddey led this team. You mentioned it just a second ago, but Josh Giddey, running this team, it makes you excited, because if it was just Josh Giddey and then you had two pure shooters and a big man, this team would be a playoff team when Josh got, older and more mature. So just that, without Shea, without Dort, and without all the other young assets that we have, Josh Giddey could probably bring a team to the playoffs almost by himself with some shooters. So to me, this is a really great way of seeing him by himself and leading that offense. He was right there for a triple-double, but man, that was a really exciting basketball.
Yeah, it was his best offensive game. He was 6 of 13, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 2 offensive rebounds, but honestly, that doesn't seem right, because I think he was in there at least 4 or 5 times. I think he had 2 on one possession, but I mean, he created a bunch of extra possessions by tapping the ball. A total of 7 rebounds, but like I said, I think that's a little light. 8 assists, 1 steal, 2 block shots, 15 points, 0 for 5 from 3-point land. And that, to me, is pretty incredible when you consider he was 6 of 13 overall from the field. So that means that he was 6 of 8 from anywhere inside the arc. That's really impressive. He really did a lot of driving. He challenged big men. He shot his floater. He showed the versatility. And honestly, last game we saw his three-point shooting at a really high level. I'm not worried about him at this point at all from the three-point shooting. That's something that's going to come with some time. He's already shown that ability. But what he showed today was incredible. Triple-double threat every single time he's out there. He leads the team in rebounding. And what he does, it's all off of instinct. He just goes out there. He creates opportunities, creates extra possessions, and it's just pure love of the game and competitiveness that drives him.
You're absolutely right. And the reason we love to see Josh Giddey out there is because it seems like he does everything right. Yeah, he makes some passes that will get tipped or sometimes get stolen here and there. But the reality is that he's averaging, I want to say, less than 3 turnovers a game. It's insane, Mark. The way that he throws the ball around, and you're absolutely right with calling it that it seems light, that his 7 rebounds was light, because this is what Josh Giddey does. is the ball is up in the air and nobody's catching it, nobody's doing anything with it. He's tipping the ball back to a player where he knows is at. It's not going to be a rebound. It's not going to be anything else like that because there's hands everywhere. And this is the thing I love about Josh is he's not selfish. He's going to do whatever it takes to get the ball in the right hands. And we saw some insane passes tonight. There was one pass to Dort for a three at the end of the game, Mark, that nobody said anything about. But I'm sitting there going, holy shit, he just took that one-handed right hand and flung it like it was like a guy was 2 feet away. It was insane. It was cross-court. It was beautiful. But he does this so often that when this happens, it's not that big of a deal. Like, Michael Cage doesn't make a big deal about it when it's a pass like this because there's so many different types of amazing passes that he does. This was just a mediocre pass. But it would be one of the most insane passes for 90% of the NBA. That's what's so beautiful about what he does. That's what's so incredible about what Josh Giddey does. And that's why he is one of our favorite subjects on this podcast, because he is a special player. Michael Cage was saying it best was when he was passing Atlanta Hawks legend Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins just said one thing to him, and that was, I like Josh Giddey. I like Josh Giddey. This is what we love. We love to have a rookie like this where everybody's jealous that we have him because it's been a while since we've had a rookie like that. And this is one of those guys that no matter who we play, no matter where we go, everybody's going to stop and start looking at him and start being really, really impressed with the way that he plays because he involves everybody. And like I said, Dort had a great game tonight. He had 15 points for 30 minutes of play. He only had 2 turnovers, which I feel like was a phenomenal night for him. He just continues to push at it. 1 assist, 5 rebounds, and 1 of which was offensive. I love this stat right here is 17 offensive rebounds on the night. I said that right, 17 offensive rebounds on the night. And the other stat I want to throw out there is I just found out by looking at stats on ESPN, at their stats sheets, is that Oklahoma City Thunder is the number one rebounding team in the NBA. That's insane to me. I'm just completely flabbergasted right now. And this team and the way we're rebounding, and it starts with Dort and his hard-nosed hustle out there. And he was on full display tonight with his 5 rebounds and the 1 offensive. This is great, Mark. I'm really enjoying these guys playing ball like this.
Yeah, so Giddey had 15, Dort had 15, and then the other guy that was tied for leading scorer was Ty Jerome. He also had 15 points. He was 4-for-7 from the field, 2-of-4 from deep, 5-of-5 from the free throw line, 1 rebound, 4 assists, 3 steals, and obviously the 3 steals speak for themselves. If you're in the action that much, you're creating extra possessions for our team, you're going to get a lot of playing time. You know, this says he got 15 and a half minutes, but I'll tell you right now, every one of those minutes he was making an impact because it felt like he was out there for a lot longer than that.
Dude, Ty Jerome is for real out there. And speaking of Poku, I'm just going to throw it out there. 9 points in 21 minutes. But you know what is phenomenal about him was the 10 rebounds tonight. 6 defensive, 4 offensive. Now, there was a play in particular I want to talk about. We were, there was what, 8 seconds, 10 seconds left on the clock. There was 36 seconds left on the clock. We had just got the ball. So that means there would have been 12 seconds left on the clock for the Atlanta Hawks going down on offense. And we go down, we miss a shot, and we get a rebound, and we miss a second shot. We get another rebound, and we miss a third shot, right? And then you see Poku go in there and get a fourth or third offensive rebound, right? Grab it and pull it out. Why was this crucial? Because we were not going to be able to score in that position with 4 guys on the Atlanta Hawks guys having 4 guys in the post, really causing issues. The only thing that we could do is pull it out and reset, and that's exactly what Poku did. It was the right basketball move, and I really enjoyed watching him play tonight with the 21 minutes. He had 9 points, 10 rebounds, like I said, and 2 assists. His 2 assists, one-handed passes. They are great passes. He's got to continue playing the way he is playing in order for us to continue. Darius Bazley tonight, 32 minutes, 4 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. But again, we're sitting here talking about his defense, and 2 block shots is big for Bazley. I don't know where the fuck this has come from, Mark, but the reality is Bazley is a blocking machine. This is great because we need somebody in the power forward position putting up some big-time blocks, and Bazley has done that game in, game out this season, and I'm totally stoked about his play right now.
So today, Baisley got the start at the power forward, and Derek Favors started at the center, and Jeremiah Robinson-Earl started at the small forward. That's an interesting lineup. Obviously, going with a lot of size, I like trying something different. So what the hell? Let's see what happens here. I'm proud of the effort they put out there, but I haven't seen this one before, and I kind of doubt we'll see it again anytime soon. But who knows? It could be something going forward. Favors went for 17 minutes, 5-for-9 from the field. He kicked in 4 rebounds, 1 offensive, and 1 block shot. JRE, he went for 31 minutes, 4-of-9 from the field, 2-of-5 from the from 3-point land, 3-of-4 from the free throw line, 2 offensive rebounds, total of 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. 13 points in total for him, 10 for Derek Favors. So, good contributions for both of them. It's good to see that, they can play together. I'm not sure, how that will work for Baisley in the future, but this is another game for Baisley where he did a lot of things right, and he's shown the ability to get to where he wants to go. Finishing right now is still a challenge for him, but if he continues to work the way he is, the finishing will come.
You're absolutely right with Baisley, man. It just takes time. He needs to have that time, especially. And to me, watching him as he's continuing to get better is key. I don't mind Baisley moving over to the small forward position. We saw him playing against a smaller forward tonight. I like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future with him. Aaron Wiggins had a big night, 17 minutes and 3 points. 1 assist, but really his defense is the thing that we should all be taking in here. Absolutely phenomenal tonight. Mike Muscala, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive, 1 assist, and that was in 16 minutes. So Mike again has another solid night.
Kenny Williams, 14 minutes, 2 of 3 from the field, 4 rebounds, 3 of those are offensive, 3 assists, and 4 points in total for him. Gabriel Deck only played for a minute and a half, but what I saw out there, all I could think of is I want to see him out there more. You can tell he's working hard. He's a very good passer, and the way that he passes, it encourages the other guys to swing the ball. I don't know if that makes sense, but he touched the ball a couple of times. He just, the ball popped out of his hands. He continued to move it, and then the ball went side to side very quickly. I think Gabriel Deck can be a very good player for our offense because just his style of play will work well. He's a hustle guy. He goes out and does all the little things, but he's also a contributor. He can shoot the ball, and he can really move it. So I'm hoping that we can see more of him soon. I know that he wants to play, so it's not just for him, though. I think the team can use him, so hopefully that works out. Obviously, this is the end of a road trip. Looking forward to having Coach Degnault back on the bench. Obviously, he just became a father or is up to. I haven't heard any news about that, but, he stayed in town, so I'm assuming that that's happened by now, but who the hell knows?
I feel like this was a really big moment for this team in this 3 games that they've played with a new coach under their belt. I felt like this was a great opportunity for each of them to really just kind of spread their wings and see what they could do. Coach D is great, and he's a phenomenal coach. But letting Coach Bliss have a moment in the sunlight is kind of cool because I do believe that Coach Bliss is a very special coach. He's somebody that I've talked about a lot in last season, and somebody that I respect and value very highly on this team. I don't think it's a coincidence that he's one of our rebounding coaches and we're the best rebounder in the league right now. I don't think it's a coincidence that our post players are playing with JRE playing as well as he has been playing. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's all because of Coach Bliss and how he really helps these guys and how he is making sure their player development is on track. So great job by Coach Bliss in these 3 days. These 3 games, but man, I'm excited. I want to throw this out here real quickly too. JRE, he seems to be on the floor whenever we're on a big run. That is really crucial for the future of this team, is because we're starting to get very comfortable with him on the floor. It doesn't matter what position he's playing. And I like that. He scored 5 points in the fourth quarter in the last, I want to say, 2 minutes of the game. And it was when we were having trouble scoring and we went to him on the baseline, hit a nice little baseline jumper, and then he hit a three. So I'm getting excited because JRE is becoming more and more of this go-to guy. And to me, I saw this in the beginning of the season of the player that he could be at the end of the year. But he's surpassing what I thought he could be at the end of the year. He is becoming a crucial part to the starting rotation. And that is something that I thought was going to take time. I thought it was going to be one of those things where he became like the seventh or eighth guy off the bench, and then a second or third guy off the bench. And then as the time went on, he earned that starting position. But we're only, 14, 15 games in the season, 16 games in the season, and he's already earned that starting position. That's phenomenal. And even more so that the coaching staff believed in him so much that they moved him to the small forward position. He's played power forward now. He's played center. He's played small forward. And he started in all three positions. That's what's phenomenal about it, is the amount that he is able to move around. We saw it last year with Isaiah Roby, and Isaiah Roby made all of us excited because of what he could be. But JRE right now is taking that to a whole new level. And it's exciting because I love Isaiah Roby. I think he could be one of those players that gets a ton of playing time and has a very long career in the NBA. But JRE is proving to be one of those guys that is taking the time away from Isaiah Roby. And that's not by chance. That's because Jeremiah Robinson Earl is good. And it's not because Isaiah Roby didn't get better over the offseason. That's not why. It's because Isaiah Roby is what I would consider a phenomenal center that can drive to the hole, that can pop it, stop and pop it, and can play amazing defense. But JRE can already do all those things, and he's only 20 years old. And that's what's so exciting and so phenomenal. Isaiah Roby got 10 minutes tonight. He got 4 points, 3 rebounds, one of which was offensive. And that's what he's going to do for us in game in, game out. And that's why I love having Isaiah in our on our bench and coming off our bench when we need him, because he does step up in big ways and he picks up big minutes. But Jeremiah Robinson Earl, in my opinion, at this point, he has stepped up in a huge way, and we all have got to tip our hats to him and say well done, because this is phenomenal. We're watching a young man step up in something that nobody thought was even possible for a second rounder, and now we're watching him emerge, and this is exciting, Mark.
Yeah, 100%, man. And like you said, JRE, you already mentioned Wiggins and Giddey. You know, this is all about the youth, and last year's rookies are already this year's old guys, it seems like. So we're getting to watch them grow up right in front of our eyes, and we're excited about the process, and we're excited that you continue to join us. And we're going to be back tomorrow to break down more about this game and talk more about, what we saw in the game, not just the stats, but overall, you got to give it up to these guys, especially Josh Giddey. This is an offensive breakout night for him, and I think we learned a lot about what he's capable of when he has the ball in his hands the whole time. So great game overall, even though the score wouldn't necessarily think that. Who cares? This is a young team, and we're learning every day. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back tomorrow. And as always, this episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.